wanted to do like Cardi B. to start. But
to mix things up.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to know how to start every time. that sounds natural. Not that that would, but it'd be different. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Anna, mein Frau. Meine Frau.
Very good.
Yeah.
What?
Wow, it only took 6 years to figure out how to say that. Yeah, I correct myself sometimes now, which is cool. How you doing this morning after us talking for about an hour already?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you any different than you were a couple minutes ago before I pressed record?
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So I have my little sticky note. It's a purple sticky note. It's tiny because those are yours. You have the tiniest sticky notes.
I have the tiniest post-its because I ordered the wrong ones.
Oh, but you also, your handwriting matches the size because your handwriting is tiny. We talked about that another episode where you said it saves time. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
saves time to write small.
Effort, yeah.
Effort and time. Which, by the way.
What?
That reminds me of something that's on my little sticky note list, but it was in a different order.
Oh.
But it does remind me, so your tiny handwriting also goes really hand in hand, no pun, with this idea that I have that you are secretly like a pharmacist or a doctor trapped in a creative body. And you don't agree with me.
Get me out of here.
You don't agree with me, right?
No.
Necessarily. But like that, they have the tiny handwriting in the...
Yeah, I wouldn't sustain my interest in those topics for long enough to be able to do that.
Yes, but it's so interesting being, like, living with you and being around you as much as I am now, of course, with the pandemic as well, how knowledgeable you are about health-related things. And your take on it is... You know, you're not trained for that, first of all, so you're not an expert, of course. But your take on it is, you know, you have to look up things sometimes. And my take on that is, so do doctors that I go to. They're constantly learning more about things. They're searching things in front of me, you know. So what do you think about that? Do you feel like you have a predilection or like a... You're already... it's easy for you to take in that kind of information and explain it to people.
I think it is only the reason why I know certain things is because I kind of always want to understand. I don't even know exactly. I want to understand how to make my life better and how to be healthy and those kinds of things. So I look up these things all the time. And then over the years, you just get a bunch of information.
Yeah.
Yeah. But usually it's related to, oh, this is happening. What could this be? And just looking up, reading just... I mean, I read a lot of articles if I research something. Because I want everything to be confirmed by multiple sources. And to actually understand it, I need to read a lot on something. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why I might have some knowledge in some areas.
So I think we have a lot in common with that because I like to research things deeply too.
Yes.
But the things you research are different than what I research.
Yeah.
And so...
100%.
I'll still hold, and people, if you're listening, I think we're up to 8 or 9 now. I mean, I think it's taking off, Anna.
Yeah.
It's taking off. But if you're listening and you agree or disagree, like the idea of... Yes, you shouldn't be performing surgery on anyone, and you certainly, people should look to their own doctors for any advice, but I just think you have an interesting, you have more knowledge and also acumen than most people who are not in the medical field.
Right.
Right, so it's very interesting to hear you talk about stuff. I don't always agree with things, but it's... I have to look it up in order to fight it, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from anxiety and a little bit of skepticism, which is just, and also, by the way, what I found is if you have some sort of health issue, then even if you talk to a doctor and those kinds of things, it's actually with everything. It's like when you have a legal issue and talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like you should, it's really good to immerse yourself in the topic a little bit, to understand what they're saying, but also to also be able to judge it a little mm-hmm, bit, mm-hmm. even though you might not be the expert on it. But have there's sometimes people miss something, and you don't want to be reliable, like just on on one person's opinion.
Even you don't want to be reliant, yes.
Yeah,
sorry. On someone else. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to be reliant on someone else's opinion.
Yeah, even if it's an expert, because, you know, this is why people go to multiple doctors, and it's also a good mm-hmm. idea when you have an issue that doesn't get better. Mm-hmm. But it's really good to not... There were several times in my life when I found that not... well, just saying, oh, this person, what is gonna solve all my problems, is a good thing. It's like even when you have some person to fix something in your house for you, mm-hmm. like just having a little bit of the information and thinking about it and what they're saying and putting that together a little
bit. Yeah, you know, if they're charging you too much, or if there's a way to do this a different way, they're speaking the right language. It's like knowing a little bit about everything,
yeah.
or a lot of things. And it's absolutely what you should do, in my opinion, when it comes to being a founder.
Yeah.
Like you said, lawyers. Don't just rely. Like, still read everything that you sign. Don't just say, well, the lawyer said it's okay, so I can read it.
And ask questions. So that is the thing. When you know a little bit, it's not about fighting them over it. It's more about asking some questions. So at least you understand you're on the same point of view, that they understand you even, you know, that it makes sense. Because a lot of it comes down to communication. And if you're on the same line, I don't know how to say it.
Same page.
That's aligned. What I mean.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just good. It's just good overall advice. And you are... If I had the information, I would be arguing with everyone. And yours,
I know.
yours is much more diplomatic.
I notice it in my head, but I don't necessarily say anything.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they're wrong.
Yes.
Or they're boasting, or they're exaggerating, or something
like
that.
Yeah, and
you have to live with me, right?
Yeah.
Because if you were triggered by people exaggerating or boasting, you wouldn't be able to get through a conversation with me, right?
I didn't think you do it that much as you think.
I think I'm projecting what other people say.
Oh,
I don't think it's boasting or exaggerating. I execute and I deliver.
It's true. I'm always extremely impressed with what you do. And the thing is, like, you say it like it's nothing.
Right. It's the opposite.
But then you feel the same way with me, too.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Oh. We're both wearing hoodies. Our hoods up.
Yeah.
It's very Saturday morning, post-avocado toast, and post the opposite of avocado toast on my part. Just meats. Meats and cheeses. So yesterday we did something that we rarely do, which is go outside of the house. We got into the car and we drove to pick up a prescription. And both of us, for a few seconds...
Independently from each other.
Yes, independently from each other, exactly. Thought that we came upon Billie Eilish.
Yes.
And it's not just, you know, on its own, you're like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But we were driving in West Hollywood in the exact... almost the exact location where you have had your Bieber encounters.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have been odd.
It wouldn't have been odd.
For that person.
In the location, yeah.
Exactly. It was the hair. At first it was the frame, but we've determined that it's probably not so much the right frame.
So.
But the fact that... But for a second, you know, I was like, we have to go. We decided we're the West Hollywood detectives because yes. We're just like, oh, is that Billie Eilish? And so what has happened is I put up this picture on Twitter last week. I just remembered this. I put up this picture because you were there when I freaked out, yes. Right? When I thought I had cracked this code. I had this epiphany while we were watching TV or getting something was happening. The internet was out. Yes. And we were like trying to figure stuff out. And I had this epiphany, which I thought was an epiphany, but it's not an epiphany. That I thought that a picture I took 15 or so, maybe 14 or so years ago in West Hollywood, okay. Uh-huh. At a bar that lesbians went to, a lesbian bar. I'm gonna take you to a gay bar. The song. At a lesbian bar that I have remembered because I remember that night so well. I remember that person so well. I was convinced it was Gal Gadot from Wonder Woman. And is that how you say her name?
I don't know.
I think it's Gal Gadot. It may be Gal Gadot. I will look it up, and I apologize if I'm getting it incorrect. And I posted it, and I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is the one. And then everybody's like, that is not her. And not only did they say that is not her, I mean, that would have been one thing, because I was like, hey, I was with Gal Gadot. And people were like, I will eat your firstborn by the thumb of Thor. How dare you, sir? I mean, people were riled up.
Oh my god!
That I got this wrong. They were, and this wasn't only Gal fans who slipped into the situation. They were like people who follow me too.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, let's all settle down here, okay?
For a moment.
It was apparently not her.
Yes.
My bad for thinking it was. Yes. How dare I?
Yes.
But what I decided from that experience, by the way, I posted a picture of me with Kim Wayans directly after and said that was me and Tina Turner. And a lot of people were like, that is not Tina Turner. Okay. Oh, I know. It's called tongue in cheek, my friend. Okay. So I'm starting doing all those voices. Anywho, what I've decided.
Yes.
Through that and through perhaps our Billie Eilish misfire, is that I have become my mother in more ways than one.
Oh.
My mother is notorious for seeing anyone, mm-hmm. anytime she comes to LA, everybody's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only, so she's proven me wrong twice.
Okay.
Twice. The rest of them have not been that person, don't look like that person,
yes.
couldn't possibly be.
Yes.
But the two times it was right, it was in Santa Monica once when she saw Sean Penn, and I was so surprised. She knew who he was. She didn't even know his name. She said Madonna's husband, right? So at the time, or
yes.
in the past. And then the other time was we were at someone's family home, mm-hmm. some tech titan's
By
family
the way,
home.
I like that she referred to him like that, because women are always referred to as the wives.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Oh, yes.
Sorry.
And she was at this, we were at this family home, and it was like this tech titan, so they had a lot of people around that kind of recognized, but she was there, and she said, I know her, she's from, and she rattled off the TV show and the play that this woman was in, and I'm like, Mom, please don't go up to her. I mean, I was just like, Mom, please just, you have a pattern of not necessarily getting that right. And if you were to go up to her, it might be offensive because I don't know who you're saying she is.
Yeah.
She's like, that's her. I know that's
yes.
her. And I'm like, okie doke. And then I kind of forgot about it. And the next thing you know, I look over and she's talking to the woman.
Yeah.
And they're like best friends.
Yes.
BFF instantly.
Yes. Yes.
And I come over to them and my mom is like, have you met my friend? Blah, blah, blah. And it's the person that she thought it was.
Oh my God.
And she's like, She just did like, she was really good at that, you know?
Yes.
So I can't, so I think I've become her, as we often do become our parents, where I am not as easily able to recognize people.
Okay, so, well, first of all, one of them was 15 years ago.
No, but I've thought of it now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I should know better. You know what you think? What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know.
I know you don't have much of an opinion on this at all. I already know. You don't even have to pretend. You're just like, yeah.
You do whatever.
Is this of enough importance for my mind today?
I like when people don't bother celebrities.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
For whatever, like unnecessarily kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like a.
But other than that.
What is that woman? I forgot her name. I met. Diane is would know her name. She's in a. See, this is exactly the point. So she wrote a book. Somebody who knows, tell me. She wrote a book that's called I Don't Know Where You Know Me From. Oh, and she's like a character actress.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Judy Blume? Is that her? Is it? Something like that. Judy Greer? Something to that effect. Anyway, we'll look it up. So I love that, which is like people probably come up to people all the time and are like, how do I know you? I've had that happen, not in a celebrity way, but like in a, wait, do I know you? And they're just like, and then finally they're like, oh, Twitter. Or, oh, I've seen you online, you know?
Yeah, I guess also some people don't necessarily associate it with TV instantly or mm-hmm. with these people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did this once. So it was just a few years ago. I was at the Troubadour.
Yeah.
In West Hollywood. A lot of things. Again, we're the detectives of West Hollywood now. But I was at the Troubadour, and it was when I was drinking. And so I was there to see a concert, and I was drinking and whatever. And I saw this woman.
Yeah.
And I was convinced that she was from a toothpaste ad.
Yeah.
I was like, she is from that toothpaste ad.
Yeah.
So I went up to her and I'm like, I feel like I know you from like a commercial. And she's like, yeah, I've been in commercials. And I'm like, oh yeah, that must be it. And then I talk to her more and she reveals her name.
Yeah.
It's Sarah Radel. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. No, I've never seen you in a commercial. Mm-hmm. We came up together in Dallas in the music scene.
Oh.
I knew her years past.
Oh my
past.
God, he's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she was in a band called Lucy Love Schroeder, which was an amazing, I loved that band. And she, you know, was, she, it always seemed like she was going to become an actress or something, you know. But I had booked shows for them. Like a couple of shows I booked and then just saw them in the scene. And so she had just been imprinted in my memory. And then I saw her outside of that context and assumed she was a commercial actress.
Now, if you don't live in one of those TV or film hubs or in the US, do you ever think when you see somebody that they were on a commercial or a TV? Because I don't think I ever did that.
That's very true. Yeah. Because so often you do see people out of context here, and like you see them at the grocery store, and they're on NCIS.
Or
it's just very jolting. I've seen like 3 or 4 General Hospital people out and about, and that's the only time I lose my mind.
Yeah.
Every other time I'm cool, but like General Hospital, like come on. So let's switch gears a little bit, slightly only. I was just showing you this artist named Jax, J-A-X. She's a singer. And I think she's in LA now. I think she's from the East Coast, and she was on American Idol for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped watching the season when she was kicked off, whatever season it was. I was like, this is a travesty. She's so, so good.
Aww.
I don't know what happened in between time, but I started watching her this year or the past few months because she was doing these really, really cute, but super, clever new videos and songs, kind of TikTok vibe. Where she take a well-known song and kind of give you the realistic lyrics, you know? I just want to give her a shout out. She just got signed to Atlantic Records, which if you go back several episodes to Janine was on Atlantic and she's no longer on Atlantic. And I think that episode, she said it was like the best thing ever to go indie. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But I know she was very happy to get on the label.
Yeah.
It's not that it's any one label.
Yeah.
I think it's just a question of indie versus being signed, bootstrapping versus being venture-backed.
What they're planning specifically for you, kind of, and if that works for what you are and who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are so many artists that we know and love today only for the fact that they were on a label.
Absolutely.
And then there are others who made their own kind of destiny happen in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the some sort of business transaction happened where they were able to be heard more so.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jax, if you haven't checked her out, people, our nine or so fans, go to Instagram, and I should have looked up what her Instagram is, but I think you can find her, J-A-X, Google it. She's awesome, and tell her that we sent her.
I will see if I can confirm that.
Oh, exactly. Anna does not like us to give out information that is
unfounded.
Or
I believe it is J-A-X, yes.
That's so great.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is it just at J-A-X?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Great for her. So please, listener, go look at her videos. And then she has like straightforward videos that are her original songs that are just amazing and beautiful. Download those. But you're just going to have a good laugh.
Yeah, it's very funny.
She just put up a Katy Perry, I Kissed a Girl spoof parody thing. And it was just, it's just so like real, you know?
Yeah.
It's very, very clever. And what were you saying about her? Like, you liked that
I like that it's kind of, it's not unpretentious, but it's not perfectionist. So it's not her showing off her singing as so much as like just being really funny, and she happens to sing really great. Right?
Yeah.
So, but that kind of makes it nice because it doesn't feel like too commercialized or something. It just feels like so relatable in a way.
Yeah. So hopefully,
it's kind of refreshing.
Hopefully that vibe stays, because I don't think she'd have it any other way.
Yeah.
I think it works. I think it's like great for like a one woman show type of thing, or some sort of variety show or something. What I have listed on here is more talking more about another celebrity family. I don't know why we're talking about celebrities so much. I'm the one who writes these lists because as I think of things, but I don't know if I want to talk about it. Okay, so moving on. The next thing I have, because all I have left is Melatonin and Bump Sale. I don't know if we're going to quite deliver
this week. And our promises. If we can get another fan, I don't
know. Every week I think we get one or two.
Every week can be great, okay?
Every week I think we get like one or two people who are like, we're being a little facetious because we have many people who say hi. So thank you so much on a serious note. Thank you to everyone who's reached out personally or on social to say that they enjoy us talking to each other, and it kind of it's just a different layer to what has normally been done, especially on the podcast.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, we look forward. I think I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Weekend. And I look forward to it because I just like talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've gotten to the point.
Yeah.
In a month where now we say, well, let's save it for the pod. So we're gonna be a married couple who like doesn't talk between the commercials, like, you know how they say, like, I think Oprah and I think everybody like they don't. Most people don't talk between commercial breaks because they want to keep it real fresh for the audience. So you're talking, and then it goes silent for the guest.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, a talk show.
Okay, I thought they're watching TV.
Yeah,
talk with their spouses.
Yes, no, I love it. So if you think about like Jimmy Kimmel or something, he's having a great conversation, and then they go to commercial break, and they really go to that in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, everything you can get on camera, I think, in that situation, you want to have on camera.
Yeah, I think we've been to a few Ellen tapings as the audience member, and also working. Thank you very much. I'll never forget that.
True.
That's when I took that picture with Adam Sandler, and I put up a picture and said it was my dad. And like truly people said, isn't that your dad? Like, why are you like that, people of the internet? Why are
How do you know?
I don't know. Like, why are you like that? This is what I want to ask the question.
You know, when you have that thought in your head, just don't write it down.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's an option.
Don't post it. Write it, don't post it.
uh-oh.
Don't submit it.
Hashtag. Yeah.
Get it out of your head somewhere, but do not post it.
I have done a better job, personally. I know you're talking to the audience, but I have done a better job recently of not necessarily responding to everything.
Ooh.
And reacting to everything. Ooh, especially like I used to. Well, some of it has just been in deleting Twitter on my phone whenever I feel it's too much.
Yeah.
Because, I used to have a thing where I would check Twitter in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's different than Instagram. Like, Twitter is very much just full of opinion, just full of everyone's opinion. And that's okay. That's what it's meant to be. But it can be really overwhelming if you have a lot of that coming towards you, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah. And so it was a few months ago I did it for the first time. I just deleted it, and I had access on my laptop if I needed to check something like DMs. And I would find that as soon as I do that, I would only, whereas before I was checking it all day and getting that opinion that's seeping into my conscious, I would maybe check it every 2 days, just one time, just to go look through and see if there's anything I needed to reply to or anything. And I didn't do as much going to other people's pages and seeing that and just being outraged.
Yeah.
Giving my outrage to their outrage.
Yeah.
And so when we did the Reg CF on Republic, I put it back on my phone so I could be very, in the moment. And then I took it off and then I put it back on. And so it's kind of like, it's really, in my opinion, healthy to not have that be, it has to be there constantly. And I know some people who have done, who just completely, they don't have any social on their phone.
I think of maybe not doing the weekends anymore or something.
Hmm. Well, your Twitter existence is very different than most. It's almost like you could give a master class on how to actually use Twitter. Can you talk a little bit about, not that I want to interview, sorry, I got into my interview mode, but can you talk a little bit about why, like, some decisions you made and why it seems so loving and positive?
A couple of years ago, I really had some sort of social media burnout. But the problem is I really like social media in principle, just because all my friends have always been all everywhere. That was even before the pandemic. And just keeping up with communities everywhere has just been really important for me. And so I like that engagement and I feel like I have friends there. So I've had to figure out a way to actually make it work, and or just not have those connections, or have them in a different way. But what I did is, for example, first of all, I've unfollowed a bunch of people. That's the first thing I did. I think I unfollowed 2/3 of the people. Yeah, it took probably 2 days to do that.
One by one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I wanted to keep following the people I wanted to follow. And then everybody followed, I turned off their retweets. So it's unfortunate that you can't do that site-wide, or where you can just unfollow that in one click.
I think you can.
Can you?
I think you can turn off retweets. All right, well, let's look into it. But I think you can.
Oh, I think that might be different.
Maybe okay. Blue check can. not to brag. that was so obnoxious. Maybe the blue checks can. But no, maybe, because I think you can. So let's look into it. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I had to go to everybody's profile and say, turn off retweets.
Yeah.
And it helped because, also I turned off all video autoplay. So I only look at videos if I actually want to or interested, because everything that feels like it sucked me into something, I had to cut out. So retweets are those things, because they're very loaded and emotional often. The things that go big are often very emotional, and sometimes sometimes they're like things that are political, and then they're simplified kind of, and then they get
very polarizing.
Just, polarizing.
Yeah.
It's like it's very some feel, things feel very propaganda-ish kind of. It's just almost. It's not a real conversation anymore. It's just sentences that people shout, kind of. And I just couldn't... That was not what I was here for. Like, what I'm here for is, like, connection between people. And so I needed to cut out all of that stuff. And people who post a lot of that stuff, I just had to mute, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I muted a lot of people who posted a lot because I'm like, you know, you're taking over all my timeline. I want to see what the other people post, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of it is counterintuitive to Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
What you did.
Yeah.
But you, instead of leaving Twitter, you just hacked Twitter
to
be what you needed it to be.
Yeah.
So now, what are the results? What do you, you also are able to, I notice that when I look at your comments, unlike my comments, people are not yelling at you. How do you make that happen?
I don't have a big audience, Erlen. That's the big difference.
But you do, but you engage. You engage a lot. With your audience. It's almost like
it's true.
Yeah, it's like you actually care and you...
It's also one of the things that I learned and why I wanted to keep it in my life is I was pretty depressed a few years back, and I found that making people feel good on social, for example, if you don't have any other means,
kind of,
that made me feel good.
Oh.
And so I just try to create that positive kind of response to everything. Like, I mean, things that I don't respond positively, I just don't comment. But if I see something I like, I will tell the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
mm-hmm.
I follow a lot of artists, so I post under their art and say that's whatever I give them compliments to their art, basically, because
positive
they're
reinforcement. Yeah.
Yes, because I actually enjoy it.
And you have you also have niche audience. I mean, audience and interests.
Yeah.
So I know pixels. So a lot of what we talk about that we like about each other is that we don't necessarily know a ton about each other's worlds.
Mm-hmm.
We know more now, but it's nice to have this separate kind of thing.
We don't work in the same lane.
We don't work in the same lane. And anytime we do.
Yeah.
Like if it intersects, we are working together a lot of times.
Yes.
And so that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Right. But I was thinking like you, pixels and what's that music?
Pixel art.
Pixel art.
Yes.
Yes. And what is it called? Skunk rock.
Vaporwave.
Vaporwave.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought it was called skunk rock.
You make up nice words all the time.
Yeah. Vaporwave. And so you like that kind of music, not only,
yeah,
but it's a...
It's just little communities. Basically, I'm part of all these little tiny communities, and it's kind of interesting. And they can be really interesting because they themselves are often very positive because it's indie artists supporting other indie artists.
Mm-hmm. Can we... close out. I don't want to talk about melatonin. So
yes.
Can we close? By the way, spoiler alert, I had a really bad reaction to melatonin. So don't always read, you know, believe what they say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But can we close out by talking about one of your projects that you're working on, Moonshell Island?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to learn more about it.
Oh, yeah. So it's an indie game, video game. It's an action RPG.
What does that mean? What is an RPG?
A role-playing game.
Role-playing game. Mm-hmm.
Developed by Cheeky Knots,
mm-hmm.
that you can also follow on Twitter.
How do you spell that?
Cheeky, like cheeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Cheeky.
And then knots, like astronauts.
Oh, Nauts?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And a small team. And it's... it's an honor to be part of the project, basically.
Well,
it's a very wholesome project, and I'm making the music for it.
Yes, and I know that part. I know you're making the music.
Yes.
And they've posted little clips of the art. Can you just give a broad description for people who don't know, like me? Like, how long does something like this take, this sort of project?
Years.
Years.
You should also know I work on another... video game actually as a writer, and that's also been going on for years, and actually was started I think maybe 10 years ago or something. Yeah. the original idea.
So this is an indie. Yeah. These are not your the kind that I watch you. I watch you play a lot of different kinds.
Oh, days also take years, but they have hundreds of people working on them.
Yeah.
And then indie games also take years, but it's just one or two or three people, you know.
Yeah.
Often. Sometimes it's more. But like many are just people have their full-time jobs, they go home and work on their game for a few years.
Yeah, it's like a side hustle startup. I've noticed like it's really like weekend warrior type of thing.
Yeah.
So the Moonshell Island has been worked on for how long, do you think?
Oh, I'm actually not sure.
But a few years, and you became maybe? A part of it last year, right? Or maybe even longer than that?
I became a part of last summer, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you were just really, really happy too. Like, you were like, this is the right project for me.
Yeah,
you
know? It's the only project I've pitched for in years.
Oh, yeah, you usually get somebody comes to you.
Yeah, but I also don't do a lot of freelance work these days, that is new, basically.
Yeah.
And it's kind of because I'm picky and I like doing my own projects.
Yeah.
And so if I do something for someone else, it's because I'm really excited about the project.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you recorded an entire album last year in a month. Like, you had I think it was May or something.
Yeah.
You had like an experimental thing you wanted to do, 1 month, one album.
Yes.
And this year, I can't even tell you how many albums you've done.
I did another album last year, and then this year just one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So
just
like,
one, but it's February.
It's incredible. So, it's incredible, like the work that you, the composing that you do. So you there's an episode from very far back of Your First Million where I interview you for the first time as a guest on Your First Million, and we talk about the different things that you do. Obviously a lot has happened since then, but if anybody's interested to know, you know, the full breadth of what you do, they can start there. But so Moonshell Island, one thing I like about it is that they give updates, and I guess it's part of a whole community of people who do like certain days of the week or something.
There's certain hashtags, where people post updates on their games. And some is like, there are screenshot Saturdays.
Oh.
And then there's like, I forgot the other one.
But you post them on your, you retweet them on
Twitter. Because you guys don't have your retweets off.
Yeah.
So get my retweets.
So it's Queer German Girl. You can see some of that. And I just think the game itself is so cute and so... I don't even know what goes into making something like that, so I'm just quite impressed.
It's just a lot of love and a lot of skill.
Yeah. And then the music for it, it's so good, what you're working on. It's so good.
Thank you.
Yeah. All of your, we're going to close out, but what I really love about your music is just how much range you have.
Oh.
Like, you can make things that feel like, the horror stuff, like the writing. You have like a screenwriting award from a festival, really awesome short play. Yeah. But that's not music, obviously.
Yes.
But that type of music for something like that you can do, like that's really scary and really like
gritty
gritty. And then you can do these. I think my favorite is when you do like trailer type music that is for like really big action or thriller.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just amazing when you play something for me and it's like, is Hans Zimmer here? is that how you say it?
Zimmer.
Yeah. Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
But it's so, oh my God, so robust and so just pounding and awesome. And then you could do something like Moonshell Island, which is so... it's like fairy pixie dust, you know. It's very light and airy and playful and joyful. First of all, what do you think about that range? And second of all, do you have a preference or anything?
I think that's why I went into like composing for media, or why I stuck with it, let's say like that, because I felt like I always, when I started my music career, I tried to establish myself as an artist in a way, kind of. But as an artist, you have like a specific sound and you have to kind of, you don't have to keep it, but people are going to be mad if you don't keep it. But it's like you have this sound and you're going to be this artist. But as a composer for media, you actually it's required that you have a range in a way. It doesn't have to be huge for everybody who does that, but a little bit of different vibes you need to be able to do. I definitely, there are different sides of me that I want to express, and I do have that side. I love like tense emotional stuff that's dramatic and sweeping, and I just love that stuff. But I also just want to make something that makes you just feel warm inside, and it's just light and gives you like this little bit of joy. Like, it's sometimes this, it's just there, you know, it exists like somewhere in me, and I just want to sometimes write it. And there are these melodies that come out of me that are like that, and then I love that I can use them for something.
Yeah, I love that. Just point blank, right? I also love that you'll play a song for me, and you'll I'm watching on the computer, so I'm seeing all the layers of it, and you're like, right now, this is something I recorded, or you know, off of the side of the wall the other day. But my favorite origin story of a sound or a beat that got you started on a song was you told me weeks later that one time we were at the airport and you heard something, or something came to you at the airport when we were waiting for our luggage, and it turned into this massive, beautiful song that could, you know, could be in any trailer for incredible movie. Do you remember that?
I know. It was more like a melody that came into my head.
And I'm like trying to think back to when that would have happened, but I guess it's the same as me. I'm always calculating, I'm always strategizing, even if we're talking, like, I can't help it. And you probably always have something being composed.
It just knocks and is there, and you gotta be ready to like record it somewhere or something, because it's gonna be gone in a second.
I have, so you, that's beautiful. You say it just knocks and it's there. I just watched last weekend the Bee Gees documentary that I cannot remember what streaming service it was on, but it was probably a Netflix or a Hulu type, or HBO Max or something. And it was a great, great documentary. And towards the end of it, spoiler alert, towards the end of it, Barry Gibb says, of all the things they've done, the music and touring and being one of the most sold records of all time, that the songwriting was always the thing. It turned out to be the thing. And losing all of his brothers, like, he lost three brothers and he's the only sibling left, all of that. But he said the songwriting was the thing, and he's like, it's never something I wrote. It was always written for me. Already written for me, and I was like lucky to find it. I was just shown it.
I feel that for most of it.
That's incredible.
There's some things I have to figure out, kind of, but I actually try to get most songs, I try to get that inspiration, like something to come to me, because those are the things that end up having some sort of beauty that I wouldn't necessarily be able to just create it by just writing it.
Very cool. It's knocking. I like that. I'm going to use that. So we'll wrap up by saying Billie Eilish. I'm going to say it.
Yes.
Billie Eilish, really dig you, really dig how you present, you know, how you carry yourself and all through all of these ridiculous people. Really appreciate Kat Dennings speaking up for Billie Eilish and the body shaming that's happened. Kat Dennings having survived that herself as a younger actress, and Kat is on WandaVision. That will take us into, will you watch WandaVision with me tonight?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. And don't you all spoil WandaVision for me. I saw you Twitter. I saw you getting a little, and I'm saying Twitter, Instagram, don't you spoil
it. Why do it?
Yes. We're going to leave this episode by chastising you. Thanks everybody so much for listening. Especially if you listen, this is probably our longest one. What's our code? We're gonna move the coaster up, and the code is Anna.
Kelly's.
Kelly's. K-E-L-L-Y apostrophe.
S.
Yeah. And that is another restaurant on General Hospital, and it's a coaster that we have. We have a coaster collection of the places on General Hospital. Now, they've just opened up two new locations, the Port Charles Grill and some sort of bar that doesn't have a name yet that Curtis is in the midst of trying to buy. So hopefully we'll have more coasters, ABC General Hospital, to purchase. Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.